Hello, this is Michael Schatz, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology in Practice. It is my pleasure to present to you the highlights of our April 2024 issue. The theme of this issue is newer approaches to asthma management, and we thank editorial board members William Bussey and Mario Castro for serving as coordinators for this theme. The cutting-edge theme review articles in this issue include an update on the important clinical concept of phenotyping severe asthma in the current era of biologics, management of extrapulmonary treatable traits such as gastroesophageal reflux disease, chronic rhinosinusitis with nasal polyps, atopic dermatitis, depression, anxiety, and obesity, downstream impacts of systemic inflammation in patients with asthma, including cognitive impairment, depression, anxiety, metabolic syndrome, and cardiovascular abnormalities, the relationship to asthma and therapeutic potential of alterations in the respiratory and gut microbiome, the new paradigm of inhaled corticosteroid use as part of reliever therapy, and the recently articulated goal of not only controlling manifestations of asthma in the short run, but achieving disease remission in the long run. In addition, an insightful theme editorial was contributed by theme coordinators William Bussey and Mario Castro that does a terrific job of summarizing and contextualizing these theme review articles. Now I would like to present the highlights of the original articles in the issue, which are on the subjects of asthma, drug allergy, eosinophilic disorders, food allergy, hereditary angioedema, immunodeficiency, and rhinosinusitis. The first article is Household Use of Green Cleaning Products, Disinfecting Wipes, and Asthma Control Among Adults by Pacheco da Silva et al. What is already known about this topic? Household use of cleaning products may negatively impact asthma control, but few studies have examined these associations, and none evaluated the impact of green products or those used in wipe form, both increasingly used. What does this article add to our knowledge? An almost daily use, 4 to 7 days per week, of household cleaning products, including green products or those used in wipe form, was associated with a 2 to 3-fold increased risk of uncontrolled asthma. How does this study impact current management guidelines? We suggest that health practitioners consider the household use of cleaning products and advise their patients to limit as much as possible their use of products in order to improve and maintain asthma control. The next article is Ventilation Heterogeneity is a Treatable Trait in Severe Asthma by Gibson et al. What is already known about this topic? Ventilation heterogeneity, VH, is a key pathophysiological mechanism in asthma. What does this article add to our knowledge? The VH distributions were identified in severe asthma by ventilation perfusion single photon emission computed tomography, VP-SPECT, imaging. The VH correlated with adverse clinical outcomes and was shown to improve with biologic therapy in people with severe asthma. How does this study impact current management guidelines? The VP-SPECT CT may be a useful objective test of biologic treatment response in severe asthma. The next article is Associations of Breathing Pattern Disorder and Nijmegen Score with Clinical Outcomes in Difficult-to-Treat Asthma by Freeman et al. What is already known about this topic? Breathing pattern disorder, BPD, is common in difficult asthma and is associated with worse outcomes. There is no gold standard to diagnose BPD, but the Nijmegen Questionnaire, NQ, score greater than 23 and clinical diagnosis are commonly used. What does this article add to our knowledge? NQ and a clinical diagnosis of BPD identify differing phenotypes of difficult asthma and are not always concordant. NQ as a continuous and categorical variable is associated with worsening clinical outcomes in difficult asthma. How does this study impact current management guidelines? BPD has a significant negative impact in difficult asthma and merits better diagnosis and treatment. Diagnosis should ideally incorporate both clinical features and NQ, whereas NQ as a categorical scoring tool may also aid clinical understanding. The next article is Dupilumab Improves Lung Function Parameters in Pediatric Type 2 Asthma, Voyage Study, by Bacarier et al. What is already known about this topic? In the primary Voyage analysis, Dupilumab treatment was shown to reduce severe asthma exacerbations and improve forced expiratory volume in 1 second during the 52-week treatment period in children aged 6 to 11 years with uncontrolled moderate to severe asthma. What does this article add to our knowledge? This analysis provides in-depth assessment of Dupilumab's effects across multiple spirometric parameters, demonstrating that Dupilumab achieved rapid and sustained improvements across multiple lung function parameters compared with placebo in pediatric patients with type 2 asthma. How does this study impact current management guidelines? These analyses highlight add-on Dupilumab as a therapeutic intervention for clinicians aiming to improve lung function in pediatric patients with uncontrolled, moderate to severe type 2 asthma. The next study is association of sputum eosinophilia with easily measured type 2 inflammatory biomarkers in untreated mild persistent asthma, by Kovar et al. What is already known about this topic? Biomarkers are now being utilized to target biologic therapy for patients with severe asthma, but not mild asthma. What does this article add to our knowledge? This is the first large study, including adolescents, to evaluate the performance of multiple biomarkers. There is a discordance between sputum eosinophilia and other type 2 inflammatory biomarkers. A high proportion of participants with untreated mild persistent asthma who were sputum non-eosinophilic still had blood eosinophilia and increased fractionally exhaled nitric oxide. How does this study impact current asthma management guidelines? Blood eosinophilia, sputum eosinophilia, and fractional exhaled nitric oxide used in isolation are not sufficient to characterize an asthma phenotype responsive to inhaled corticosteroids without consideration of other clinical factors and a shared decision-making process. Prospective trials are needed to test the ability of other biomarkers to predict inhaled corticosteroid response. The next study is burden of uncontrolled severe asthma with and without elevated type 2 inflammatory biomarkers by Ding et al. What is already known about this topic? Many patients with asthma have type 2 airway inflammation, identified by the presence of specific biomarkers, including ATP, high blood eosinophil count, and/or high fractional exhaled nitric oxide levels. What does this article add to our knowledge? In uncontrolled severe asthma, disease burden is high regardless of patient's biomarker status. How does this study impact current management guidelines? Many patients with uncontrolled severe asthma have low blood eosinophil counts or are triple negative for history of allergy, blood eosinophil counts, and fractional exhaled nitric oxide. These patients have few biologic therapy options and their needs should be addressed. The next article is altered symptom perception in children with asthma is associated with poor childhood opportunity and adverse outcomes by Fitzpatrick et al. What is already known about this topic? Effective asthma self-management requires that children recognize their asthma symptoms when they occur. However, some children have altered symptom perception, which impairs their ability to respond to their asthma symptoms in a timely manner. What does this article add to our knowledge? Nearly 15% of children had altered symptom perception and were uniquely distinguished by non-white race and more severe prior exacerbations. These children also resided in areas with the poorest childhood opportunity and had significant future exacerbation burden. How does this study impact current management guidelines? This study highlights the importance of assessing symptom perception during routine clinical encounters. This study also adds to significant literature documenting health disparities in children with asthma. The next study is long-term safety of dupilumab in patients with moderate to severe asthma, TRAVERSE continuation study by Maspero et al. What is already known about this topic? Efficacy and safety of dupilumab, a monoclonal antibody blocking type 2 inflammatory cytokines IL-4 and IL-13, has been demonstrated up to 3 years in adults and adolescents with moderate to severe asthma in previous clinical trials. What does this article add to our knowledge? The TRAVERSE continuation study extended safety findings up to an additional 3 years in patients with moderate to severe asthma who completed TRAVERSE. Findings were consistent with previous dupilumab asthma studies and the known dupilumab safety profile. How does this study impact current management guidelines? These findings further support the safety of long-term use of dupilumab in patients with moderate to severe asthma. The next study is effectiveness of carboplatin pre-screening intradermal skin tests to reduce unanticipated immediate hypersensitivity reactions, a comparative study by Lee et al. What is already known about this topic? Carboplatin immediate hypersensitivity reactions are common, especially after 7 or more cycles with an IgE-mediated mechanism. Skin testing in patients who experience carboplatin immediate hypersensitivity reactions can be helpful in confirming the mechanism. What does this article add to our knowledge? The carboplatin pre-screening intradermal skin tests exhibited a sensitivity of 77.8% and a specificity of 99.4%, effectively reducing immediate hypersensitivity reactions by 83.2%. The incidence of immediate hypersensitivity reactions exceeded 1% starting from the 6th cumulative cycle of carboplatin. How does this study impact current management guidelines? This study confirms the utility of conducting carboplatin pre-screening intradermal skin tests starting from the 7th cumulative cycle, because it effectively predicts unanticipated immediate hypersensitivity reactions to carboplatin. The next article is Artificial Intelligent Tools for the Diagnosis of Eosinophilic Esophagitis in Adults Reporting Dysphagia, Development, External Validation, and Software Creation for Point-of-Care Use by Visaggi et al. What is already known about this topic? Despite increased awareness of eosinophilic esophagitis, EOE, the diagnostic delay has remained stable over the past 3 decades. Current guidelines recommend multiple esophageal biopsies in all patients with dysphagia, regardless of the risk of EOE. In addition, there is no consensus on how to assess the individual risk of EOE in patients reporting dysphagia. Accordingly, there is a need to improve the diagnostic performance and optimize resources allocation in the setting of EOE. What does this article add to our knowledge? Our software-integrated models are highly accurate for the diagnosis of EOE before biopsy collection and can be used for the assessment of the individual risk of EOE in patients reporting dysphagia. How does this study impact current management guidelines? Our software is available on our website and can be used at point of care to improve the diagnostic workup of EOE and optimize resources allocation. The next article is interaction between baseline participant factors and treatment effects following peanut oral immunotherapy by Lloyd et al. What is already known about this topic? Probiotic and peanut oral immunotherapy and oral immunotherapy alone have both been shown to induce remission of peanut allergy successfully in a significant proportion of children treated and improve health-related quality of life after treatment. What does this article add to our knowledge? Several participant factors measured at baseline, such as age, sex, allergic sensitivity, and medical comorbidities, interact with treatment to affect remission and health-related quality of life outcomes in particular participant subgroups. How does this then impact current management guidelines? Participant factors should be considered when practicing individualized medicine and shared decision-making with patients, and in the design of future clinical studies of food immunotherapy. The next article is Comorbidities in Angioedema Due to C1 Inhibitor Deficiency, an Italian Survey by Vazzanicelli et al. What is already known about this topic? The use of androgens for long-term prophylaxis, LTP, in hereditary angioedema, HAE, may result in adverse effects. What does this article add to our knowledge? We found a higher prevalence of comorbidities in patients with HAE compared with general population. LTP with androgens was associated with hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, diabetes mellitus, hepatic angioma, and focal nodular hyperplasia. How does this study impact current management guidelines? The results of this study warrant an extensive workup for comorbidities in patients with angioedema due to C1 inhibitor deficiency, especially in those on LTP with attenuated androgens. The next article is Pulmonary Computed Tomographic Screening Frequency in Primary Antibody Deficiency by Smits et al. What is already known about this topic? Patients with primary antibody deficiency, PAD, in general frequently suffer from airway disease and interstitial lung disease associated with severe morbidity and mortality. However, predictive factors to identify the individual patients at risk for these pulmonary complications are lacking. What does this article add to our knowledge? This study identifies risk factors that can distinguish specific patients with PAD at risk for airway disease and interstitial lung disease presence and progression. How does this study impact current management guidelines? The current study provides new information about risk factors that can distinguish patients with PAD at risk for airway disease and interstitial lung disease presence and progression. The study results could guide future screening frequency. The last article is Efficacy of Exhalation Delivery System with Fluticasone for Chronic Rhinosinusitis, Two Randomized Controlled Trials, REOPEN 1 and REOPEN 2 by Palmer et al. What is already known about this topic? No medications are Food and Drug Administration approved for the treatment of chronic sinusitis without nasal polyps. Standard delivery nasal corticosteroids are used despite limited evidence suggesting lack of meaningful efficacy. Previous Navigate trials demonstrated exhalation delivery system with fluticasone efficacy for nasal polyps. What does this article add to our knowledge? Exhalation delivery system with fluticasone is the first non-surgical treatment shown to improve symptoms, sinus opacification, and acute exacerbations for patients with CRS with or without nasal polyps, including patients with CRS whose symptoms persist with use of standard delivery nasal steroids. How does this study impact current management guidelines? This is the first placebo-controlled evidence demonstrating efficacy of any medication in CRS without nasal polyps. Exhalation delivery system with fluticasone is an appropriate first-line treatment for CRS, including when symptoms persist with over-the-counter medication before escalation to surgery or systemic therapy. Thank you for listening to the highlights of the April 2024 issue of the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology in Practice. This is Michael Schatz, and I hope you find this issue beneficial for you and your patients.